Hey, McDuck.
Hey, Tessie. Happy
Happy
Friday.
Friday.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome to Cocktails and Conspiracies, everyone. I remembered to say it.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. I'm Tessie.
McDub with a mouthful of Tito's.
Yeah, just drinking vodka today.
Just straight up.
It's been a tough
week. Not really, but yeah. It went by really fast, but it's been an intense week for sure.
And just the fucking heat. Like, I feel like I'm melting nonstop.
Yeah, in Texas, it's like, I saw a couple days ago, it was like, heat advisory. It's going to be 105.
Oh, yeah. And it's 105 on my way here in my car.
Yeah.
105.
And our 105, coupled with humidity, that's what kills it.
Yeah, it's like 155.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so today we're both talking about crazy alien abduction claims. And these are, the two that we're talking about are really the most popular ones and the most, I guess, believable stories.
Yeah, just the most heavily circulated.
Which, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. Like, I don't think an alien would want to come to Houston at all. They'd be like, fuck this, and turn their spacecraft.
Why?
Right around.
Why do you think so?
Because it's so hot.
It's so gross.
Don't you think they'd come out like, I imagine aliens looking kind of sluggy, like almost like Gumby. Maybe, but gray and a little pointier.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just melt right out.
They just like, yeah, they couldn't even step onto the middle of their spaceship. It'd be on fire.
Yeah, they turn around immediately. Okay. What would you do if you saw a legit alien and like you knew in your soul it was an alien?
Oh, I'd be so scared.
So
I
scared.
Would try to drive away. I would try to get away.
Yeah. What if you're not driving? What if you're just on your feet? And you're wearing
flip-flops. I would go hide.
And it's dark. You don't have any light.
I would never be anywhere dark in flip-flops by myself, by the way. That scenario would never.
It's a nightmare. I know. I just want to know what you would do.
I never go anywhere by myself.
That's why I'm like, God, how did people like wander off in the old days? Like, what would you do if you got lost and you didn't have a fucking cell phone?
I don't know.
Just die.
Yeah, I think there's survivor man tricks that we don't know.
God, we would not make it.
No.
Not for a second.
I wouldn't go outside.
No. Yeah, today we're talking about aliens.
Alien abductions.
So I'm going to start. This is kind of the first reported claim that really started getting attention after your story.
Mm-hmm.
This one is about Antonio Villas Boas. So, at the time of his alleged abduction, Antonio Villas Boas was a 23-year-old Brazilian farmer who was working at night to avoid the hot temperatures of the day. On October 16th, 1957, he was plowing fields near São Francisco de Sales, somewhere in Brazil, when he saw what he described as a red star in the night sky. According to a story, the star approached his position, growing in size until it became recognizable as a roughly circular, like, egg-shaped aerial craft.
That gave me anxiety in my heart.
Yeah.
I would, unfortunately, I don't faint.
Unfortunately.
I wish I would have, if I was in that situation you asked, I wish I would just faint and die.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm a fainter, so.
Oh, lucky.
Thanks. Okay, yeah, it's so scary, though. You see, like, this red star far off in the sky, and then it's just coming closer and closer to you, and then it eventually looks like a fucking spacecraft.
Oh, no.
The craft begins to descend to land in the field, extending three legs as it did so.
And he's just standing there, just, like, observing.
What the fuck? So he's watching this probably in just awe, like disbelief. And that's when he finally like comes to, I guess, and he decides to start running. So according to Boas, his first attempt was to drive away on his tractor. It's like,
same.
Yeah. Smart. Mm. But then it immediately dies. Mm-hmm. Such bad luck. And then he was like, fuck this, and decided to continue on foot. So now he's running. He didn't make it far and was caught by a five foot tall humanoid. Yeah. He or she, whatever, was wearing gray coveralls and a helmet. Its eyes were small and blue, and instead of speech, it made noises like barks or yelps.
No, no.
I know.
Ugh. I hate it.
Okay, so three similar beings then joined the first in subduing Boas, and then they dragged him off to their craft.
And he's conscious for all of this?
Yeah.
He's not a fainter either, huh?
No. Ugh. Poor thing.
Sucks.
I know. Yeah, I'd just be out. This might have happened to me, and I would have no idea because I'm such a hard sleeper. Sucks. Okay. So once he is dragged inside the craft, Boas said that he was stripped of his clothes and covered from head to toe with, like, a strange, like, gel. He was then led into a large semicircular room through a doorway that had a strange, like, red symbols all over it. Boas claimed that he was able to memorize these symbols and later reproduce them for investigators.
What did they look like?
I don't know. So in this room, the beings took samples of Boas's blood from his chin. Yep. That's a weird place to get blood. I don't know. Mm-hmm. After this, he was then taken to a third room and was left alone for around half an hour. And during this time, there was some kind of gas that was pumped into the room. And this made Boas violently ill. So he's in this room. He's probably, like, scared as fuck. He's naked, has all this gel stuff on him. And then they just start, like, fumigating the entire room with some gas that makes him violently ill.
How, like, vulnerable could, like, you're just naked?
Just, yeah, with, like, gross sticky gel all over you. Ugh.
This is for real.
Yeah.
It's up to you guys, I guess.
It's up to the listeners. Okay, so shortly after this, Boas claims he was joined in the room by another humanoid. This one, however, was female, and she was very attractive and naked. So I guess aliens have human bodies? Like, do they have boobies?
Okay, if we want to think about, and there's a lot of, like, theory and thought to this, about why would aliens look like us or be similar to us when nothing else of the millions of species of bugs and animals on our planet, I mean, besides monkeys, like, nothing looks like us. So why are all these stories about aliens, why do they look somewhat similar to us?
I think it's got to be, like, some sort of shape-shifting power that they have.
Oh, so you think that they try to, like, mimic
something
that looks familiar? So that we'll trust them.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
That's my question with all these alien abduction stories. Like, yeah. Why do they look somewhat human? Why wouldn't they look like
an insect
or something?
But he didn't say the other ones did, just this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he said the other one had, like, coveralls on.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, like, a railroad conductor.
Yeah. like an alien farmer. Yeah. Maybe because he was a farmer, they wanted to make him feel comfortable. Be like, hey, we're one of you.
But we're going to strip you and put gel on you and, like, make you violently ill and scare the living daylights out of you.
Yeah, by the way.
But we look like you.
Yeah. We're wearing overalls. Maybe. Okay. So Boas is in this room with this, like, super haughty alien. So she was the same height as the other beings, so about 5 feet tall. And she had a small pointed chin and large blue cat-like eyes. The hair on her head was long and white, like platinum blonde.
Oh, sexy.
She sounds so hot. Ew. But her underarm and pubic hair were bright red.
Spooky suit. Womp. Didn't get it right, guys.
Kind of weird. But Boa said he was strongly attracted to this woman, and the two had sexual intercourse. During this act, Boas noted that the female did not kiss him, but instead nipped him on the chin. Weird.
They love the chin.
Yeah.
These ones do.
They do. When it was all over, the female smiled at Boas, rubbing her belly and gestured upwards. Boas took this to mean that she was going to raise their child in space. So she's like,
okay, dude.
Space.
Space kid. Yeah.
Space baby. The female seemed relieved that their quote-unquote task was over. And Boas himself said that he felt angered by the situation because he felt as though he had been a little more than a good stallion for the humanoids.
Dude.
What does that even mean? Like, Okay. So, blah, 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 blah. Boas said that he was then given back his clothing and taken on a tour of the ship. How nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, get dressed. We just assaulted you. Would you like to take a tour of our spacecraft? I mean, I would probably do it, though. I want to see what it's like.
All right. I guess. Yeah. It's in here.
Might as well. I'm not allowed to do. During this tour, he said that he attempted to take a clock-like device as proof of his encounter, but was caught by the humanoids and prevented him from doing so. He was then escorted off the ship and watched as it took off, glowing brightly. When Boas returned home, he discovered that only 4 hours had passed. Okay, so in the days that followed, Antonio Villas Boas became violently ill, suffering from nausea, skin lesions, and serious migraine headaches. Which, if you've ever had a migraine,
fucking I have not.
So bad.
Thank God, I know it's horrible.
So then one day he was sitting around his house reading the paper and he saw an ad from this reporter named Jose Martins. And the ad was reaching out to people who claimed to have had contact with aliens and for them to share their story.
Mm.
So he calls this reporter. And the reporter, Jose Martins, interviews him, he speaks with him, and then he arranges for Boas to see a doctor because he wanted to make sure, like, physically he was okay or to see if there were any physical symptoms, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So the doctor diagnosed the farmer with radiation poisoning. But it was really, really weird because no one knew how this man could have come in contact with the amount of radiation it would have taken to cause the severity of illness.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for something weird besides just like this harebrained like story.
Yeah.
Because he's out in the middle of nowhere, Brazil, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so how is this even going to happen? And what do we think about when we think about radiation?
Chernobyl.
Well, obvi. But also aliens.
Yep.
Okay. By 1958, the man's story had been published, but it would not gain serious attention until after the famed Betty and Barney Hill abduction, which took place in the United States in 1961. And that's what you're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap this up, though he faced scrutiny for his story his entire life, even after becoming a respected lawyer with a family of his own, Boas's story remained the same, and he was able to recall the details of his abduction, including the symbols he saw within that ship, with total clarity, even without the aid of hypnosis, until he died in, I think it was 1991.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
It's a little crazy, gotta say. The only thing that makes me wonder is the radiation.
Where are you going to get all that radiation?
I don't know. I don't know.
Also, watch Chernobyl. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though chronologically Tessa's story came before mine, the abduction of Betty and Barney Hill in 1961 was the one that really brought a lot of these other claims to light and to be taken more seriously, because this one is crazy. So on September 19th, 1961, a UFO sighting happened around 10:30 at night by Betty and Barney Hill, and they were driving back from a vacation in Niagara Falls in Montreal, and they are an interracial couple, and they've been together for a long time. And
wow,
they,
1961.
Yeah, they were awesome. So just south of Lancaster, New Hampshire, Betty claimed to have observed a bright point of light in the sky that moved from below the moon and the planet Jupiter, which I could not tell you with a gun pointed to my head where Jupiter is. While Barney navigated US Route 3, Betty reasoned that she was observing a falling star.
What's US Route 3?
Just the highway that they were on.
Route 3.
Is it route or route? I say route all the time. I never say route. You know how I am with hard vowels. Is it Route 3?
I don't know.
Well, I also got reamed when I was in high school. I was in a political science class and I was doing a report, and my professor, who was a dick,
Sounds like it.
I said, Iraq, and he's like, it's Iraq. Like, so I don't get my vowels right.
I thought it was Iraq.
It's not Iraq, it's Iraq. So for our accents. Yeah. So I get all my vowels messed up. So anyways, on Route 3, so she thought, she was like, okay, I see something weird. There's a bright point of light while we're driving back at like 10:30 at night. We're like, had a little road trip. We're just trying to relax as a couple in the 60s. And she thought she was seeing a falling star, only that it started to move upward. Since it started moving erratically and grew bigger and brighter, much like our friend in Brazil, she got really scared, and she urged Barney to like stop the car. She was like, wait, just stop. This is weird. We've got to like see what's going on. And then they had their like little dog named Delzy, and she's like, we got to walk him. Let's just like go out and see what was up. So he stopped at like a picnic area, like off of the side of the highway. So she was looking through some binoculars, and she observed an odd shaped craft flashing multicolored lights that traveled across the face of the moon.
Okay.
So actually, several years before that, her sister claimed that she had seen a flying saucer. So she was like, oh, maybe that's what I'm seeing, like, right now.
Yeah.
So Barney took the binoculars. He's like, well, let me see. So he thought it was a commercial airliner traveling towards, like, Vermont. He didn't think it was a UFO. Okay. However, he soon changed his mind because without looking as if it had turned, the craft rapidly descended in his direction.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Doesn't that give you, like, ugh. That made my stomach turn.
No, thanks.
So when he saw that, he's like, this is not a plane. It doesn't move like that. So they got in their car. They're like, okay, the fuck. Like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. And drove down this like narrow kind of mountainous stretch of road, like trying to get away. So the hill said that they continued driving on this isolated road, moving very slowly in order to observe the object as it came closer. So they wanted to keep looking at it, but they're like, okay, we got to get moving. We're not just going to wait for it.
Okay.
So Barry testified that it was at least, when it got closer, was at least 1.5 times the length of this granite cliff that they could see because they're in like a little mountainous pass south of Lancaster, right? And that's what he was using to like gauge size. And he's like, okay, this is like at least 1.5 times the length of this cliff profile. So the couple watched, and it was completely silent.
Ooh,
so
creepy.
They watched as it moved erratically, like, and bounced back and forth in the night sky. So it wasn't just like a plane. It was moving really weird. And I think if you hear about a lot of sightings, that's the thing that strikes people at the very beginning, is how weird these move. It's the acceleration, I think, that's really weird. And the fact that there's not any sound, like, you immediately feel something's off. Like, and the people that see it, there's no doubt in their mind that this isn't something like a jet or weird. Okay. So then, after observing that, the object rapidly descended towards their vehicle, causing Barney to stop in the middle of the highway. So it like started descending towards them really, really quickly, and it got really close. And so it caused him to freak out, and he stopped.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So it hovered approximately between like 80 and 100 feet in the air above the hill's car and filled the entire field of vision in the windshield.
What?
It got that close, and it was so vague, and like it came right towards them. Like, and if you're looking in your car windshield, you couldn't see anything else but that craft.
Ugh. What color was it?
Well, I don't know, but it reminded Barney of a huge pancake.
Ew.
Yeah, like the kind of flat and like, ugh. Okay. So carrying his pistol in his pocket, he stepped away from the vehicle and moved closer to the object because it was right in front of them. Using the binoculars, Barney claimed to have seen about 8 to 11 humanoid figures who were peering out of the craft's windows, seeming to look at him. In unison, all but one figure moved to what appeared to be a panel on the rear wall of the hallway that encirculated the front portion of the craft. The one remaining figure continued to look at Barney and communicated a message telling him to stay where you are and keep looking. Barney had a recollection of observing the humanoid forms wearing glossy black uniforms and black caps, no coveralls.
Aww.
So, the silent craft approached to what Barney estimated was about 50 to 80 feet overhead and 300 feet away from him. So at that point, Barney tore the binoculars away from his eyes and ran back to his car. In a near hysterical state, he told Betty, "They're going to capture us."
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So he saw the object again shift its location to directly above the vehicle. He drove away at high speed, telling Betty to look for the object. So he got out, tried to like figure out what was going on, got scared shitless, got back in the car and like, we gotta go. They're gonna get us.
Yeah.
Blech. So almost immediately the hills heard a rhythmic series of beeping or buzzing sound, which they said seemed to bounce off the trunk of their vehicle. So their vehicle started like vibrating.
Oh my God.
The car vibrated and a tingling sensation passed through the hills' bodies. The hills said that they experienced the onset of an altered state of consciousness that left their mind dulled. A second series of beeping or buzzing sound reserved the couple to full consciousness. So like some sort of, and we've talked about like Hertz vibrations and yeah, like what it can do to your body, like AKA brown note.
Yeah. Poop your pants.
Right. But like, you know, there's definitely different sounds that can make our bodies relax. And like, and so that's what they were saying. Like all of a sudden their car started to vibrate. They got like kind of like loosey goosey and then another vibration happened and they came back to it.
Weird.
They found that they had traveled nearly 35 miles south during that time, but had only vague spotty memories of the section of the road. They recalled making a sudden unplanned turn, encountering a roadblock, and observing a fiery orb on the road. So in the weeks and months after this sighting, Betty, who was a super avid reader, checked out books from the library, discovering NICAP. So like, she was like, I got it. Like, this is so weird. I feel so weird. Like, I got to do some research. And then, so she found some books about the it's a civilian UFO group, NICAP. And so they talked to them, but then she also reporting the sightings to the Air Force, worried about radiation.
Oh.
So she reported it to them too.
Okay.
So in the coming years, she was suffering from really disturbing dreams, and Barney developed an ulcer and severe anxiety after this encounter.
Yeah.
So the couple sought mental help years after this. They just couldn't stand it anymore. So the two met with Benjamin Simon, a psychiatrist and neurologist who specialized in hypnosis, which was super popular at that time. So after several sessions with him and like meeting with him, the couple eventually revealed a very startling story. Gray beings with large eyes had walked them into a metallic disc as wide, Betty said, as her house was long. Once inside, the beings examined the couple and erased their memories.
Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Through months of weekly sessions, Simon helped the couple piece together what they think had happened. A vessel had landed on the hill's car, putting them to sleep. You know, like they said. Afterwards, gray beings walked them up a long ramp into the spacecraft. Once inside, the hills were separated, taking turns in an examination room that had curved walls and a large light hanging from the ceiling. Each was asked to climb up on a metal table. The table was so short, Barney's legs hung over the side.
Ugh.
Yuck. So this is something similar to your story. there's always an examination. If you look at a lot of these alien abduction stories, like, they're always examined, right? During the examinations, the beings removed Betty and Barney's clothes, plucked strands out of their hair, took clippings of their nails, and scraped their skin. Ugh. Each sample was placed on clear material, not unlike a glass slide. Needles connected to long wires probed their heads, arms, legs, and spines. One large needle, around 4 to 6 inches long, was inserted into Betty's belly.
It
was a pregnancy test that left her twisting in pain. After Betty's examination ended, the beings rushed back into her room excited. They discovered that Barney's teeth could be removed. Betty laughed, explaining that Barney had dentures, a fact of human aging that the beings struggled to understand. So they didn't get it. They're like, his teeth come completely out. Yours don't. And like, she, like, whenever she remembered that, she laughed. She's just like, they didn't get that.
Weird.
He had dentures. Later, alone with the leader, Betty asked where the craft had flown, admitting she knew little of the universe. The being joked with her, saying, if you don't know where you are, there wouldn't be any point in telling you where I am.
Oof.
Later, under hypnosis, she drew a star map shown to her on the ship.
Ew.
Right? In 1965, so about 4 years after the initial sighting, the Hill story was picked up by a Boston newspaper. After that, everything changed. So their experience would kick off an Air Force inquiry, part of the secret initiative Project Blue Book that investigated UFO sightings across the country.
Okay, they very kicked it
full
off.
Full circle again. Always finding full circles. So this incident would also become the first ever widely publicized alien abduction account and shape how stories like it were told and understood from then on. The Quiet Couple story became the subject of a best-selling book and a movie starring James Earl Jones.
Ooh.
The upstanding civil servants had become celebrity abductees. So NICAP's science advisor cross-examined the couple and found their account credible. The Air Force's Project Blue Book would ultimately dismiss the story, determining the unexplained craft could be explained by natural causes, quote-unquote. For his part, psychiatrist Simon never felt the Hills had made up their story. He concluded Betty had dreamed the abduction and Barney had absorbed her story, especially since many of the most vivid details matched descriptions of dreams Betty had jotted down after the event. So here's a quote from their psychiatrist, and he said this on a 1970s like radio program. I believe implicitly in the honesty of these people. So here's the question that you have to kind of answer for yourself. I think they were earnest and they truly believed what they had gone through. So I think that, and that's why like the Air Force is like, yeah, this isn't it. But then the NICAP, which was a civilian UFO group, and their psychiatrist were like, no, they're not just making it. They truly believe it, whether it happened or not.
Yeah.
So that's what you kind of have to like discover for yourself.
Creepy.
I know. That's it.
Wow. Okay. So these were the two most prevalent, like popular stories that kind of got this thing going. Very early, decades and decades ago.
Okay.
But we actually have like a real life story in front of us.
Yeah, so it was really weird. So
introduce yourself.
BDS.
He's BDS.
I am BDS.
I am BDS.
You can catch him on episode 3, Confederate Gold.
Back again.
That's right.
So I was driving down the highway. It was call it 9 o'clock at night. I was coming back from a weekend. It was actually me by myself. So I was driving down the road. And kind of just a normal night and dark. I've been driving for a long time. I look up in the sky to my right, and I see a light just hovering there. And it was, it caught my eye, and it was close enough to where it was noticeable. And it was going between white, green, and red. So it wasn't okay. like a consistent white, wasn't a consistent green, wasn't a consistent red. It was actually just kind of pulsing.
Was it any time close to Christmas?
No, it was not.
Okay. So no coincidence.
No. And it was up pretty high.
Okay.
So I noticed it from a, oh, that's interesting, right? Kind of looking at it. Mm-hmm. And it was not a star, obviously. It was definitely brighter than that. But the moment I saw it was just hovering there. And then all of a sudden, it literally went from not moving to whoo,
shut the fuck up.
Right past me.
Just like our stories, McDub.
And I was, I mean, like anybody, you're kind of like, what did I just see? What was that? Oh, it's a plane. No, it's not a plane. Like it was literally hovering and went just, went by. So my mind's kind of putting that too, and I'm driving along and I didn't, I'm still just trying to process it. All of a sudden, another one appears. Almost identical. And at this point, I'm a lot more cognizant of what's going on.
Right.
And so it sat there for another, I don't know, 5 or 10 seconds. And then, and I actually got my, so this was, I had an iPhone, got my iPhone out. So I have my phone up and I'm actually recording it. And you see it. Now it's hard because the iPhone doesn't, but you see enough to be able to see that it goes,
where's this video?
I don't know where the video is now. I didn't put so much into it that I was like, oh, I got to keep it. I didn't have like a cloud type of thing at that point. Yeah. So it was like 10 iPhones ago and whatever. The thing that I thought was, so I had no idea what it was. All right. So I, at the point I was like, oh, it's a UFO. It's unidentified flying object, which is exactly what it was. Right.
Right.
So the next morning I tune into, I'm listening to the radio on the way to work and, 94.5, the Rod Ryan Show.
Yeah.
And buzz. Multiple people called in saying the same thing. And I was like, validated. And they were like, yeah, over the western sky. And it was west because I was coming in. So over the western sky, we've had multiple reports of these, like some kind of activity. And I was like, that's exactly what I saw.
And that was it.
That was it. That's all I have.
Okay. What do you think it was? Do you legit think it was an alien?
I have no idea. I don't believe that we have anything that just hovers and moves that fast.
Yeah.
And so if it was something that was continuously moving, I'd kind of be like, okay, I don't know what that was, right? Probably a plane if I saw it. Because you don't have the depth perception, right? So like if it was close, you know, if it just moved constantly really fast, you'd be like, man, that was a close plane moving really quick.
Right.
It wasn't that though. It was something that would stay there and then move.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I got nothing more, but that's my story.
That was a good one.
Yeah. That's a great story.
So it's still happening. Guys,
let us know if you've seen anything.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts on alien abductions. What you think, if you think they're real, if you think
if you have a story,
stupid,
we'll tell it.
That'd be ideal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us food your alien stories.
Yes.
I want to know.
Yeah. Send us a DM on Instagram, cocktails_and_conspiracies.
Uh-huh.
Email us at tessiamcdub@gmail.com. Your stories, that would be awesome.
That'd be so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we love you.
We love you guys. God bless and trust no one.
Bye.
Bye.